All right, Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Now Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this, because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Deber, king of Eglon. "Come up and help me attack Gibeon," he said, "because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites." Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Then the Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. Okay, so we are on, we're moving forward with a new battle today. We've been through the battle of the Jordan, the battle of Joshua, the battle of Jericho, the battle of Ai, the battle of Gibeon even. And now it's a completely new battle. And the first thing that I want us to talk about today, that God works in different way. In those first few verses, we see that the king Adoni Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, heard about what Joshua had done to Ai, Jericho, and the Gibeonites. You know, so the battle of Ai, we know what it was. It was mentioned, you know, here that and the thing here that the king Adoni Zedek is talking about the victory, not talking about the failure that happened originally. You know, and that's one of the things that God is so good at. When he puts our business out to people, he puts our good stuff, you know, he puts the good things that he's done for us, the good things that we've done, you know. So the main focus here is at the end of the battle, not the beginning of the battle. The battle of Ai didn't start very well, you know, but it's good to finish well. It's much better to finish in a good way. And even if you started in a bad way, than to finish in a bad way. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is that these battles were all so different. The battle of Ai, the victory came after a hard lesson, after souls were lost, after failures, after a time of repentance, and also after a time where they showed weakness and humility after running away from the enemy. They had to run so God can intervene, so God can take on the city. And a lot of times you and I need to take a knee down, need to take a step back so God can move forward, so God can take that step forward in our life. Also, the battle of Jericho was a battle of trusting and obeying the word of God. God said, keep moving forward, keep marching, keep going, you know? And you look around and like, Lord, I've been doing this for weeks and weeks. I've been doing this for years and years, and nothing is happening. Keep marching. Keep going. The walls will come down. This was a battle where they saw that the insistence and persistence will bring a miracle in your life and will bring a miracle in their life. The first one was fighting, battle, hard lessons, swords, running up and down, all of that. This one was very much obedience and trust and watching a miracle, watching these huge walls come down. And if you have time, try to do some study on the walls of Jericho. When we were in Italy and we saw some of these large walls around the Vatican, and it just kind of reminded us, I'm like, how did these walls just come down? That must have been a scene, you know? So do some research, watch some videos. It will be really cool. And then the Battle of Gibeon, also something that they didn't start very well, but here they are. The king of Jerusalem is saying that this is the royal city. This is a great city full of great warriors. But all of that, they came and simply surrendered to Joshua and to the people of Israel. Do you see how God can work in so many different ways in your life and in my life? You know, a lot of times we put God into this mold and say, oh, God is going to work this way. No, God works in so many different ways. And he chooses the way where he's going to work in a way that will teach us something. You know, again, in the Battle of Jericho, insist and persist. Keep going. Keep marching. Keep going. And you will see a miracle. In the Battle of Ai, you should have asked me first. You should have asked me first. Before you go out to battle, before you go out to fight, you should have asked me first. And there are things in your life you need to clean up. You need that circumcision of the heart to happen in over and over. You need to give glory to God after every battle. You need to not take it easy on the flesh. And the Battle of Gibeon, you know, we're really good at coming to God when there are walls and there are swords and horses and all of that. But how about the discussions we have with people? The Battle of Gibeon was a discussion, was a conversation. These people came, and the people of Israel, it says that in chapter 9, they did not seek counsel from the Lord, meaning they spoke without asking God, what are we going to say? What should we say? You know, ask yourself this question before we start pointing the finger at them. When you're talking to your spouse, and do you ask God for counsel every time? Do you seek counsel every time? When you're speaking to your neighbor, and Pastor Edwin is smiling, and I'm in the same place, trust me. When you're speaking to your neighbor or to your in-laws or to someone, do you seek counsel from the Lord? And Lord, can you just show me what to say, what to do? Or am I just like blah, 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 like just ready to say whatever it is that's in my mind? Because that's always dangerous. Different battles, different ways. So once the king heard of what happened to the people of Gibeon, he decided that, no, this is not going to happen. This is an important city. This is a royal city full of fighters. We need to do something about it. At this point, Joshua and the people of Israel were there for a little while. We're at the land, at the promised land. Didn't take all of it yet, okay? Didn't take everything that God has given them, but they're slowly taken one by one. In Exodus 23, verse 30, it says this, "Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possessions of the land." I'm going to read that one more time, and please write it down. Exodus 23:30. "Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land." A lot of times we're asking God, how come you have not sent the rain? How come you have not showered me with your blessings? Well, maybe because you have not increased enough to take possession of all the land. Maybe your patience has not increased enough to deal with so many people, you know, that God will bring to your life. Maybe your self-control has not increased enough that when God blesses you with things, they might hinder you instead of helping you and becoming a blessing to your life. So God told him just a little bit by little. You know, we see the cross the Jordan, We see they took Jericho, they took Ai, and now they take Gibeon, and now there is a new battle coming their way. So we see that God works in many ways, but here's the thing, the enemy also works in many ways. You know, this fight is not, it's not Joshua going to the fight as much as the fight coming to him. So Israel did not poke at Jerusalem. This king just heard about the victories that God gave to Joshua and the Israelites, and it caused him so much envy and so much hate that he wanted to come and fight him. So the king of Jerusalem gathers four other kings and decided to have a united army to come and fight the Gibeonites. And then he goes to appeal to these kings to please come and help him. And before we move on, please note that sometimes we do the same thing when we feel like we're in trouble and go appeal to people instead of appealing to God. And instead of coming to God, instead of repenting, instead of asking God for help, we go and try to help, ask for help from people. So really quick, I'm not going to spend too much time on this because there's a lot of good things in this chapter. But really quick, Adoni Zadok, meaning it means the king of righteousness. It's so such a strange name for such a, you know, such a good name for such a sinful king. And it he probably comes from the lineage of Melchizedek, you know. But Melchizedek was actually following the Lord. It was the picture even of the Lord. But this guy here is completely away from God. King Hoham, his name means Jehovah will force you or compels you or impels you. That's what his name means. So here we see two kings just up front. We see two kings that were their names mean something good, like they mean something maybe uplifting or kind of like, you know, bringing God into the picture. Piram, it means, his name means like a wild animal or like a wild donkey. That's what his name meant. And he was also defeated. Japhiah, his name means splendid. You know, someone just full of glory and full of himself. Debir means eloquent or well-spoken or well-organized. So five different characters, five different armies, five different countries coming to fight against Gibeon. You know, Gibeon had just become the new ally of Joshua. They did it in a bad way. They came to the kingdom of God based on fear, came with religious, came with the slave mentality, didn't fully experience the goodness of God, didn't truly rely on the grace and mercy of God, but they just out of fear with their own thoughts, they came and lied. But at the end of the day, they became allies. At the end of the day, they have a treaty with Joshua. At the end of the day, they will be serving in the house of the Lord or to the people of Israel. So five different kings, five different characters, five different armies coming, five different attacks coming. And the king sends a message to everyone saying, come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Even those who just joined the kingdom of God, even based on fear, even based on anything, are still going to be attacked. Okay? And I'm speaking for people who are still in this slavery mentality, that the relationship with the Lord has not gotten to the place of a son and daughter, has not gotten into the place where they see the full goodness and full mercy of God. They're still abiding by the law. They're still abiding by, you know, I'm just going to do this so God doesn't get upset with me. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to honor my end of the contract, you know, so God doesn't strike me down. You know, even those are still going to get fought. Even those are still going to get attacked. The enemy saw that there was something good there. You know, if you recall, the Gibeonites were literally saw nothing good in themselves. You know, but when people see them from the outside, they see that it's a royal city. It's a good city. And it's also full of good fighters. You know, may God help us bring our brothers and sisters who are still feeling like living with that slavery mentality to know that they are royal generation, they are special and holy people, and they have good fighting men and women in them. You know, and this is the role of the church. This is the role of the believers, to bring our brothers and sisters who are still operating out of fear, still operating out of the law. We need to bring them the grace of God, how the grace of God sees them. See, it's funny that this king far away, this sinful king far away, was able to see that about them, but they wouldn't, but they weren't able to see that about themselves. The enemy will always rage when someone makes a treaty with God. Just like we talk about that there is a party in heaven when a believer, when a sinner comes to the Lord, there is also a rage in the kingdom of darkness when a believer comes to the Lord. So number two in this, in verse 5 and verse 6, every fight, please write that down, every fight or every battle requires a cry of help. It all does. Every single battle you and I go through, it requires a cry of help. You know, in verse 5, it says, then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of the Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. Verse 6, the Gibeonites right away then sent a word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, do not abandon your servant. Maybe write this somewhere today. Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorites kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So the five kings joined forces. The kingdom of darkness is so organized. Is well, they plan very well. The enemy being defeated doesn't mean the enemy has given up. Can I repeat that one more time? Because that's very important for us to know as Christians. The enemy being defeated. You and I trust with all of our hearts that the enemy is defeated. Right, man? He was defeated on the cross. He has no more power or authority over us. But does that mean he's going to give up? Absolutely not. All of the enemy's weapons have been completely destroyed. But there is one thing that he keeps, and he keeps very well. He keeps distracting us. He keeps putting fear in our hearts. He keeps putting worry in our hearts. If you look at Peter, Peter is walking on water. Jesus, he heard Jesus' voice, said he saw Jesus on the water. He heard Jesus' voice. He's walking on water himself. He lifts his security blanket. He lifts his little boat. And then as soon as he sees that the storm raging, he starts falling down. You know, the distraction will come. The distraction will come to you and me. So the enemy is defeated, but he has not given up. And he will not give up trying. So please remember that. And even Jesus himself said it, that there is a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is on a mission. Him being defeated doesn't mean he's going to stop trying, hurting you and harming you and your family and your God's plan in your life. They moved up with all of their troops. The enemy, again, is so organized, has so many different ways to attack, has so many different battle formations. You know, they took the position instead of Gideon and even attacked it. But the Gibeonites saw the danger and sent a message right away. I pray that you and I today would learn this lesson and learn it right away. That when we see the danger, we call right away. When we see someone, and when if you have alarm system and someone you see someone on your camera breaking into your home, what will you do? You'll call the police right away. I have no doubt. But I don't know why when it comes to spiritual warfare, we're so hesitant to dial that number. We're so hesitant to call on God. We feel like we have the shotgun and like we're ready to battle. No, we don't. We need to call on God. The Gibeonites, being who they are, being how they started. But you know what? In this part right here, I give them a lot of credits because they're doing something that a lot of believers do not do often, which they call on the Lord when there is time of trouble. The psalmist said, I call on your name in the time of trouble because you answered me. Because you hear my cry, I will trust in you. You know, so they called on him right away. And where was Joshua? Perfect place. Joshua was at Gilgal. If you go back to the back in the previous chapters, Gilgal was the place where they set the 12 stones that they took from the middle of the Jordan to remember that this is what God has done for us. So Joshua was in a place where his eyes were focused on the things that God has done for him. You know, seeing how God helped them, remembering how God stopped the flow of the Jordan so they can cross the Jordan. Also, it was the place of, come on, what we all love, the story of the circumcision. It was the place where they all experienced the circumcision of the heart, where they all said, Lord, we are dead to this world. We're going to put this flesh in check. We don't want to walk through in the flesh anymore. So Joshua was in this place where he's really communicating with God, looking at God's goodness, looking at what God has done in the past, also dying to himself over and over and over. The message came saying, come up, come out and help us. See, you and I have a great privilege that our Joshua, when we call on him, he's not going to be at Gilgal. You know, he is going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me, lifting us up, talking about us, like making plans for us. And he's in charge of everything that goes on in heaven and on earth as well. And here are the words that we want to focus on a little bit. Do not abandon your servants. These are the words that they told Joshua. Do not abandon your servants. We need you with us here. We can't face this life without you. We can't face this battle without you. I mean, us as believers, I think this is the time where we need to say these words more than ever before. We were just talking about it before the meeting. This is the time where evil is taking control. Evil is everywhere. May we say these words to God tonight, tomorrow morning, when we're driving. Do not abandon your servants. Do not abandon your servants. Lord, we need you today. We cannot do this without you. Come up quickly and help us. They emphasized on the speed. Lord, we need you and we need you now. I am facing danger. I'm facing a tough conversation. I'm facing a tough situation. I need your help right now. Lord, I cannot wait. I need this help right now. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to let you go until you come and help me. Because we are facing all these kings. See, they identified the problem. They identified the enemies. And they're asking God that these used to be our friends back in the days. This world used to be our friends back in the days. But right now we're out of this world. So we're being attacked from people that we thought they used to be our friends, but they're no longer our friends. You know, learn these words. I want to learn these words. Do not abandon your servant. But I'm not going to call them. I'm not going to say, do not abandon your servant. I'm going to say, do not abandon your child. Because he called me his child. I need his help. I know he'll never abandon me. I know he will never, you know, forget about me. I just need his presence in this fight. I need it right now. I need to put away all distractions. I need to put away all the things that I built between me and him. I need him in my life and in this situation. I need him, and I need him right now. I need him quickly to come and help me, because I am facing something I cannot face on my own. You and I cannot face this world on our own. So Joshua to the rescue. Verse 7, it says, so Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. Joshua went up with the whole army, including the best fighting men. No more guessing who's going to fight, how many thousands, whether this is a big battle or a small battle. No, we're going to go. If we're going to fight, we're going to fight together. You know, this is not the battle you're going through right now. This is not your battle alone. This is not my battle alone. This is our battle as the children of God, as believers. A lot of times we're so ashamed to tell someone, I am going through a battle. Can you come up with me? Can you get on your knees with me? Can you help me? Right now we see Joshua going up with the whole army of the Lord. You know, back in the days when Joshua first got into the promised land, he sees the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and he goes, are you for us or are you against us? What did the angel of the Lord say? I am here for the Lord. I am fighting the Lord's battle. Joshua, it's time for you and the rest of your people to join my fight. So Joshua here is going up, joining God's fight. You know, these people are not coming to fight against the Gibeonites. The enemy and all of his power and all of his armies and all of his demons are not fighting against that new believer. They're fighting against all of us. And we all of us need to stand up for every single one of us. So Joshua goes up with the whole army, leaving from a place of confidence in what God can do, because those stones are a reminder of what God has done. Also, leaving from a place that this is not about me. I am dead to myself. This is not about me. This is not about my glory. This is not about what I want. This is about what the Lord wants to do. Even the newest believer, the scared believer, the believer who still lives in that slave mentality, deserves God's people, God's army, to go up and fight for them. May God help us. May God help us to have an army of believers around us, because they do exist. They do exist. There is an army of believers around us. We're just not utilizing them. We're just not using them. Hopefully one day, hopefully we can have the number for Joshua saved on our phones. And by Joshua, I mean Jesus. And we have the numbers of the rest of the army saved on our phones. So when I'm going through something, I can simply ask. I can ask someone to pray with me. I can ask a few people to keep me accountable for something that I'm struggling with. The Lord spoke to Joshua with a very familiar voice. Do not be afraid of them. Does that sound familiar? I know it does, because we've talked about that several times. God doesn't change his mind. God doesn't change his routine. God doesn't change who he is. Do not be afraid of them, Joshua. But there are 5 of them, Lord. Yeah, I don't care if there are 50 of them. If there are 5 million armies against you, my heart will not fear, even if all the armies come against me. So he said, do not fear of them. Do not be afraid of them. Why is that? Because I'm with you. Because I am going through this fight with you. Because this is my fight. This is not yours. So do not be afraid of them. I have given them to your hand. God is not working it out, like trying to figure out what he's going to do. He already figured it out. He already gave him the victory. And I want you to hear this today. God is not holding a piece of paper and a pen today and saying, how are we going to take care of this? He already took care of this. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that I'm going through, God already took care of it. It just, and that's what he told him. I have given them to your hand. None of them will be able to withstand you. Different armies, different soldiers, different uniforms, different looks. Some are eloquent, some are wild animals and barbarians. Some are, you use the name of the Lord just to bring people under them. Some, whatever they are, none of them. Any circumstance, any attack coming your way, if it's lust, God can help you. If it's financial trouble, God can deliver you. If it's social problems, God can help you. If it's health problems, God can heal you. Whatever it is, none of them will be able to withstand you. God can give you victory over any and all of them. And in verse 9, I have 4 more minutes. In verse 9, after an all-night march, I love this part, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took a rest. Nope. He did not find a rest stop. Nope. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. After an all night of march, they were not tired. They're actually just starting the fight. They're just starting the battle. This reminds you and reminds me of Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You've been marching all night. It's been dark. It's been a tough road. I get it. But if your hope is in the Lord, if your trust in the Lord, you will renew your strength. God will renew your strength, that you will soar on wings like eagle. You will run and not grow weary, and you will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord can march all night and then fight all day. Those who hope in the Lord can take one hit and get up and hit again and go back at it. Those who hope in the Lord can defeat one army. That army's gone. Let's go into the next one. Those who hope in the Lord can take one battle after another and still win. Next thing is, the Lord threw them into confusion. Going back to Exodus 23, just 3 verses before the verse that we read earlier, Exodus 23, 27, it says, I will send my terror ahead of you and threw them into confusion. Every nation you encounter, I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. This was written long, long time ago. But does God's word stand time? Absolutely. Does God promises get affected by time or kings or nope? Absolutely not. The Israelites delivered the Gibeonites because it says that they defeated them completely at Gibeon. Not only that, because remember, this is not a fight for the Israelites. This is not a fight for the Gibeonites. This is a fight for the Lord. So they pursued the enemy. They went after the enemy. They're not just playing defense. They're playing offense, because these armies need to be gone. These armies of darkness need to be gone. Today, we're not praying just for protection over your family. We're not going to pray for protection over your health and over your money and over your businesses and all of that. That's all great, but that's still playing defense. Today, we're praying protection over your life, and we're praying that you would pursue the kingdom of darkness, that not all the gates of hell will not, because that's Jesus' promise, all the gates of hell will not be able to stand against you or prevail against you. Today, we're not just talking about your protection. Today, about you coming up and attacking the enemy and proclaiming the things that were stolen, proclaiming the land that was lost. So all night, and we're going to hear about a really super cool miracle next time. So those who fled, those who ran away, verse 11, it says, as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Haron to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. So this battle was fought by the sword and by the hail. And so the Lord, those who fled everywhere, Joshua couldn't catch up to them. And the Lord said, I got this, Joshua. I see your heart is in the right place. I see you marched all night. I see you fought all day. You know what? Let me do something that you can't do. You can't catch all these people. I will catch them. I will catch them for you. You know, God is so awesome when he sees that we're ready to fight, we're ready to battle, when we're ready to speak, when we're ready to share his word, when we're ready to take the land for him. He doesn't just give us the courage. He doesn't just give us the strength. He doesn't just give us the energy. He comes and intervenes in miraculous ways. That's our Lord. So really quick, five kings coming against Gibeon. You know, Joshua could say, you know what? These people lied to us. These people tricked us. You're on your own. Nope, that's not what Joshua does. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus comes after everyone, even the least of the believers. Jesus still comes after them. God works in so many different ways. Don't try to guess how God is going to win the next battle for you. The only job you have is to be in obedience and in trust and in the presence of God, and he will lead you into that next battle. Also, the enemy comes in different ways. Being defeated doesn't mean he's given up. He's still kicking. He's still trying to get to you. He's still trying to distract you, but he is defeated in Jesus' name. Cry out for help. Please cry out for help. When you see the battle coming, and it's always coming, as you're sitting right now, there is a battle coming. As I'm sitting speaking to you right now, battles keep coming. Yes, while I'm here speaking to you, battles are coming. Battles are coming to all of us. Battles of distraction. Battles of what people are, people with me or not. When is this going to be done? Like really, like battles are coming everywhere. We need to be in the presence of God, and we need to cry out to God. We need to cry out for help and just say it. Say it. Do not abandon us. We need you right now. We can't face this on our own. Come up quickly and help us. And the Lord is so quick to answer. The Lord is so quick to send help from heaven. Joshua led the army all night marching, all night coming to the help of the Gibeonites. But before he started marching, he was in a good place. He was in a place where he was remembering God's goodness, God's work in his life, God's mercies. And also he was remembering, I am nothing without God. I am done. I am done. I'm dead to myself. This is all about God. He gets up, he fights, he wins. And whatever is left, and that was more than even the people that he defeated, God himself intervened and defeated it for him. This is the God we serve. This is the God that who still can do the same stuff for you and I today. Amen. Questions and comments that Pastor Al can answer for you.
Well, I have a comment. I have a comment. It's happened today. You just say every fight need God help, and that what happened today to Sandra. And she got issues to with the dentist appointment she had today. She delayed it too many times because she got some issues, and she asking for a prayer for me. Soraya help also in Dalia. Yeah. Okay, so everything come up okay. Not only that, I mean, she finished her job, everything they do in one time, and everything was okay.
In one visit, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Prayers. But obviously, first, I went to the Lord first, but I was also needing some prayers. So I asked for my team prayers to help. Yeah.
So it's good to you
mention
this for today. I mean, this chapter, and that's what happened.
Okay, can I tell you something that you might not believe, but I say this before God, and God is my witness. Thank you so much for sharing that. I have been trying to arrange an appointment with the dentist for the last 4 or 5 months because I need it. I have something, I have a tooth that's chipped right here, and I need, and it keeps getting worse. But I'm so scared to go to the dentist. I actually do have phobia, like when people come close to my face, even for just regular cleaning. When I go to the eye doctor and they're like putting the things right here, I'm sweating. You know, luckily the dentist is a good friend of mine. I almost ask him to put me under general anesthesia when doing cleaning. So you saying that will help me to ask for prayer, and I will be praying that I will have the courage and actually go get this done, because I badly need it. But I can't, like, it's one of the things that I go to the dentist maybe what, every 3-4 years, something like that, just because I'm so scared of going. So thanks for sharing that. Pray for me, and hopefully by next year I will go to next week.
Let's get it done. I was there 3 hours and it was, yeah, prayers do help. Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll just pray for you for courage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad they shared this story, because I wanted to share something and they just gave an example of what I wanted to share. You made me think of, you know, of course, as she said, as we know, we call on the Lord first, but I was thinking along the lines of helping, being there for one another. And in verse 7, where you talked about where Joshua, where he was already, he was at the right place. And I like the picture as compared to when the battle of Ai, where he had to go and ask the Lord, hey, what happened? Right? He had to go, pretty much had to go and find the Lord. Right here, it says that he marched and then the Lord spoke to him, which is a picture of the Lord is there with him already. Yeah. Right? And it's a picture, and he was able to hear the cry. And my prayer, and I pray for myself, everybody, that, you know, that we're sensitive to the Spirit of God. You know, and you know, this picture of a new believer being attacked, you know, a new believer leaving the world, leaving that kingdom, and the kingdom trying to go after them. You know, they need to know that they're in a new family.
That's good.
And people, warriors, fighting men, good fighting men and women that are there. And this picture, they said, you know, that she called for prayer for what was happening today. You know, there's people that are hurting, there's people that are needed. And I just pray for, like I said, for myself, for the church, that we not miss it, that we not miss that call, that cry when the Lord opens that door of opportunity to minister, to help out, and be at that right place at the right time.
Amen. Amen. So.
I want to say a little bit something. You know, that all these conversations that we have, it really reminds us every time that we have to look into our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters. Yeah. Because most of the time, we just go into ourselves, trying to resolve the problem or any circumstance that comes to us. So this one is... For me especially, because I'm trying to fix everything by myself and then ask for help if I can, right? So we are going through a little situation with Soraya, you know, that problem in the stomach and stuff like that. So the doctor said that she has to swallow a camera to see what's going on inside. She did the first one and apparently didn't go well because it didn't go through all the way. So the doctor was saying, so we may have if we do the real one, they have to do the surgery to remove the camera. And then yesterday, she did the real one, the camera. She swallowed with a little bit of, but she did it. She did it well. See, I know she would, yeah. But, and that's it. I'm going to learn this thing first, that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I have you. You know, I pray to God every single time. But my fault, I think it is not to look for my brothers and sisters to be in prayer, you know?
Yeah.
But what happened with her is that today, the camera is out. God is so good that it came out. It was fine. But we're going through these battles. So if this is just a battle that we're going through, it's going to be a long war, I would say. So that is a good reminder for me that I have brothers and sisters that will help us to go through these situations. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Got it? She got a baby. The camera.
I called him in the morning and I said, it's a girl.
Yeah.
It's fun. All glory to God.
Yeah, it went through and that is good.
Because my husband wants to fix everything on his own. Dr. Edwin. He's like, okay, they don't do this. I'm gonna do this. We're gonna so yeah. Thank God. Thank God. He's good. He's good.
Yeah, this is really encouraging, being able to say that we have the body of Christ to help join, support and pray and encourage and all the rest of it. There was a statement I saw that you made early on tonight that says God works in different ways. And yeah, this is so true. I think sometimes the challenge that I face is that I already have a picture in my mind of what that should look like. Mm-hmm. And when he doesn't do it the way that I envisioned it, sometimes I can get discouraged. Mm. He didn't tell Joshua how he was going to do what he was going to do. It just kind of happened and it played out as Joshua was moving forward. Many times God doesn't share with us exactly what he's going to do. Things just kind of play out in a certain kind of way. And yeah, I tend to get a little bit discouraged when things don't work the way that I had hoped or envisioned, but I just need to trust that he has the right way in mind and he's going to bring the perfect plan in place. You mentioned Exodus 23, where it talks about little by little, I'll drive out the land. That's not how I would envision it. I would envision you clean out the entire land, mm-hmm. like prepare it. And let me go in so I don't have to fight any battles. I don't have to deal with any wild animals. I don't have to deal with any trouble or trial. God says, no, my way is different than your way. So I just need to learn to trust him in the process because he sees more than I see. He knows more than I know. And not to get frustrated or discouraged when the movie that I've created myself doesn't come to pass.
It's really good. I love that, the movie I created. I remember that.
Okay, can I share?
We all have movies, by the way. So, sorry, go ahead, okay. Anna.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Well, you know, and piggybacking, I guess, on what Pastor Al is saying as well, I do the same thing. I basically also have this picture of how God maybe is going to fix something, and yes, I don't want to go through this, and I don't, so he's going to do it this way, right? But I'm learning, like he mentioned, that his ways are better than my ways, right? So I recently, and I'm going to give you an example as to how I was able to handle this situation. Just recently, well, I heard that I'm still not at work. You know, I'll go back on July the 5th. So a lot of people are retiring. Fortunately, I didn't qualify yet to retire, but a lot of positions are open. I heard like people are applying for them, people are moving up. So there was one position that I knew I could transfer, you know, just go to the interview and, you know, hopefully transfer into that position. Well, that's the one position they pull off once I was ready to submit that transfer form. So at that point, I just pray to God, you know, I was talking to him and I just told him, I said, I don't understand it. I don't understand what's going on. Why is it always me? Because of course I have to go into my little pity party. But I said, you know, I can go into my depression. I can go into my sad, you know, self and my dark hole, or I can trust that you will do what's best for me, which I do. Yeah. So I don't care. I wanted to move to a different department where I can probably work better and, you know, not affecting my health. But I just realized how God is changing me, changing my mindset, where now I let things go and I get it so, negatively affect me, but more trusting him. And like Pastor Al said, one of the words that came out of my mouth was like, God, your ways are better than my ways. And you know why this is happening. And I'm going to trust that you are going to, you know, just continue blessing me and my family. And you know why this is happening. And then it's basically just trusting him, yeah. You know, trusting him. So I'm so grateful for, yes, also everyone that has prayed for me, because as I said before, God is going to heal me. I don't know how, I don't know when he's going to heal me. And he is already, you know, mentally I'm in a better place. Good. I'm more connected to him. Yes, I still have some fears. I do have some anxiety, but I haven't had an anxiety attack, you know, and it's all because I have been trusting him. I've been getting closer to him. I was able to do a MRI test, not the one in the tube, but also with that fear that comes to me, I remember telling myself, first of all, God did not give you a spirit of fear.
Good.
You know, and I sat there waiting for my turn. And I said, you're safe. God is with you. People have been doing this all this time. Nothing is going to happen. It's just fear that it's not even from God. So I sat there and I waited for my turn. I got in there. And all I did, here it goes, just pray. I recited just Psalm 23. And I was at peace. I completed my test and I was like, thank you, Lord. Cause you know, I didn't even know how it happened, but it happened. I was able to just trust him, be at peace, get my test done. And it was good, you know, but I just learned that trusting God and just, you know, and just again, reaching out for prayer has been so life changing to me.
Good.
So, yep.
Amen. Well, this is all should encourage us, you know, all these testimonies and that we just heard, that if there is something going on in your life, please share it with someone. You know, you could be one text away from, you know, another brother or sister, another army of believers coming to your defense and bringing, you know, clarity, or bringing God's word, or bringing an encouraging word to your life. So don't be shy. We all struggle, you know, so we all need the help. We all need the prayer. So please don't be ashamed. Don't feel like it's going to make you look less or whatever. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. Remember, we all had to go through the circumcision of the heart. We're all dead to this world. We're all dead to this flesh and the way that we're measured up based on this world or world. Our only value is through the cross the price that Jesus paid. I didn't pay for it. I didn't pay for my salvation. I didn't pay for my deliverance. I didn't pay for any of it. He did all the work. So this is our true value. So you coming to someone asking for help or prayer does not make you less. It just makes you a child of God. Okay, well, Can't wait to, it's 8 o'clock, so I can't wait to for next week, because it's really cool. It's a really cool miracle that happened, and I'm excited about it. But let's close, and Pastor Al, if you can please pray for us as we close, that would be great.
Lord, thank you for giving us some time to reflect on your word and to reflect on the value, Lord God, that you have placed on the body, that there is so much need for one another, to lift up one another in prayer and to be connected and to remain connected, Lord God. I pray that you would only strengthen that you would cause that to be something that grows and flourishes, Lord God, and the bond becomes stronger and stronger, Lord, as we rely on you first and then call on each other, Lord God, for support. I just thank you for that. And I pray that you would give us a heart that yields to you and trusts you in the process and doesn't try to put you in some box to tell you this is how you should do it.
Yeah.
But just allow you to be God and to allow you to run things as you have so beautifully here in this example in Joshua and with all the people that we've seen in scripture, Lord God, because you said, I know the plans that I have for you. So Lord, we just need to trust that those are good plans to bring us a hope and a future, not ever to harm us. So Lord, help us to rest, and help us to put our heads on the pillow tonight and sleep resting in the fact that you are so faithful, that you are so wise, that you are so loving and so caring, and that you deserve all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Amen. See you next week.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night.